Blog Talk Radio.
Our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We're moving, and we go into that fight just to land on the line.
Marshall, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yep.
I can't hear you. Check,
yeah,
check.
I'm here.
You guys hear me?
Yeah. Hello? Hello?
Marshall, you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. Hello? Hello?
Hey, Marshall, do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, yeah.
I'm going to try to call. If you can hear me, I'm going to try to call back. I don't know what's going on.
Okay.
All right, I'm back. Marshall, do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Wow, that was weird. I don't know what the hell happened there. It just didn't – something was up. I couldn't hear you. Could you hear me the whole time?
Yeah, I could hear you the whole time. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, I couldn't – like all the speakers I need and all the sound that I need for you to – for me to hear you seem to be just
sure, fine.
I don't know what the hell happened, but either way – we are back. I'm like waiting for the intro music. I can't hear the intro music. I'm like, what the hell's going on? I see that it's running, you know? So anyway, kind of a abrupt start to the show. But hey, it's March Madness. So things that you want to go your way don't always go your way. I mean, maybe that should be a lesson. But anyway, the College Ball Show is back. I'm Chris, he's Marshall, and we're here to break down everything that is the college basketball tournament. That's right. March Madness is here. We got a sneak peek of it from this last weekend with the NCAA tournament, or I shouldn't say that, the conference tournaments. You know, which team would make a run, which team would improve their seeds, which team would maybe take a early loss and maybe recoup, get the rest, and come back even stronger. We talked about how a variety of things can happen. Sometimes if you come from, you know, 3-4 games in a row, you know, things can happen. You may get an injury. You may get a little tired. But, you know, that is what it is. We've seen that take place. We talked about last week how Syracuse had to win 5 in a row and then got, you know, just to make the tournament in very, you know, magical, miracle form and fashion. It was really fun to watch the whole time. But, you know, at the end of the day, they got knocked out in the first round. And that's really ultimately what the history tells you. Yeah, it was fun to watch them in the Big East tournament. But clearly, you know, there was an issue there come actually the NCAA tournament. So we're going to real quickly start the show with some recap from the weekend, but we don't want to spend much time there. We want to focus in on the brackets, right? 2017 NCAA Division I's men's basketball bracket. Man, this is a big one. Who's going to, you know, make it to the Sweet 16 after this weekend? Then we get to the Elite Eight, the Final Four, and, of course, the National Championship. Make sure you follow us all the way till April 3rd. We'll have a weekly show breaking down the action, bantering, debate, predictions for the next week. Like I said, we'll take you all the way to the Sweet 16 for this episode. But stay with us for basketball in general, because we do transition to the NBA playoffs. We'll take that all the way to the finals, the draft, and our last show will be NBA free agency. So we'll be here till early July, that's for sure.
And then it's Lane Kiffin talk in USC.
And then it's, well, you know, those two aren't together still, so.
That's okay. We can trip both in.
That's right. Then we'll take a little downtime and we'll hop back on. And now all of a sudden he's a huge Trojan fan because they had a good year. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. You have stayed with them, even though you started with them when they were on top. But, hey, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. But, yeah, we're going to, like I said, stay with the College Ball Show podcast. You can check it out on iTunes, Player FM, Stitcher, TuneIn, SoundCloud, the whole nine. Of course, blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio is the home base, so to speak. And that's all under the Ropeadope Radio podcast is where you're going to find the College Ball Show podcast. So anyway, some teams didn't really improve their seed for the tournament at all. A couple of well-known clubs got knocked off early in the conference tournaments, while others made a hell of a run. Michigan stands out for me. You know, if you look at this club, you know, Minnesota had the biggest turnaround, obviously, from season to season.
Yeah.
But if you look at, you know, in November, if you look at early in the season, before the conference stuff started, right, before the league play started, Michigan did not look necessarily like they do now. They made a big run and then, you know, finalized it by winning the Big Ten. Your favorite team, oh wait, your favorite team that hates this team, Duke, made a hell of a run. They beat, what, three top 25 teams on the way to an ACC championship. So we did have some movement, whether it's up or down, especially up. Of course, when we start to talk about this, you're going to look at, you know, who got seeded a little low, who you think got seeded a little high. You start to look at strength of schedule. And, you know, we're gonna talk about that as we predict the first round and second round, potential second round matchups. We will leave today with our Sweet 16 picks, that's for sure. And then, like I said, next week we'll be back and we'll bring you to the Final Four and then ultimately the national title. I'm really looking forward to this title, man, this whole run. Not the title, but just the run in general. And it's really living up to the things we spoke about all year long, Marshall, that there's several programs here that could definitely win it all. And even some on the outskirts where you look and go, man, this might be a team that could do it. We've seen the UConns. We've seen some teams coming from way out. We've seen the VCUs, even the Butlers make it all the way to the Final Four, and, you know, with Butler making it all the way to the championship game. So this is going to be fun, man. This is going to be fun. Obviously, tonight, officially but non-officially, the first round kicks in for the play-in games. There's four of them, of course. So, you know, sometimes you can get some fun out of there. I like how they've matched it up with Providence, USC, and Kansas State, Wake Forest to kind of play off the other original play-in games, the other two play-in games, where it's more smaller schools, UC Davis, NC Central, Mount St. Mary's, and New Orleans. I would like to hear some of their arena names. I think that would be kind of fun to hear some of those. But anyway, let's
inside
start
joke.
Inside joke to the show. especially the football portion of the show and all the crazy names from the stadium if you stay with the show that long here throughout the year. But let's start with the weekend. Obviously, some teams improved their standings. Like I said, for me, Michigan and Duke really stand out for having probably the best weekends just because of where they were prior and how they ended up. Especially, you know, Michigan had some rough spots. Obviously, Duke had such an up and down year. They make a spurt where I think they won 6 or 7 in a row. 3 of them were against ranked teams, and you're like, oh, wow, they're really making a run, you know, after struggling early. And then they struggled again, somehow got it together for the tournament, and made a heck of a run. So why don't we just start there? I know that's not necessarily the place that you want to start because it's UNC, but your boys did get the number one seed anyway. So, you know, that helps. It's not like you were completely hurt on that, that's for sure. But Duke got it together, and it seems like they're clicking at the right time, Marshall. What'd you take from this weekend, especially, like I said, kind of highlighting Duke, even though that's tough to do? And then Michigan making a hell of a run and winning the Big Ten tourney as well. Obviously, Iowa State, not just in the tournament, although they did win it, they really made a run the last month or so that really secured. For a while there, you thought, huh, man, I don't know about this year. They're going to have a pretty low seed. They're not going to do much, and not to say that they got the super high seed or anything, but considering where they were about a month, month and a half ago, they really closed very, very strong with some key wins, so I don't want to leave them out as well the way they closed. But let's focus in maybe on those three, because some of the things kind of turned out how we thought it would be or very close to how we thought it would be, you know, in the SEC. Well, I suppose it was pretty close in the Big Ten, though, because Wisconsin, we both thought Wisconsin, they did make the championship game. Of course, that is that'll be our second topic as far as where people got seated, and that comes to mind, Wisconsin as well. And it's interesting because when we get there, Marshall, some teams, even a Wichita State where the eye test to some experts say they should be higher, it's interesting to go off name brand or to go off what they did this exact year in that blend of it and how it doesn't, you know, being that these are people, sure, they use plenty of stats, but I don't know. You know, there are going to be some times, like a lot of people thought Syracuse, the way they closed, they have wins over some top teams. They thought they should be able to sneak in on the bubble. We know the bubble talk wasn't crazy this year, but I know Syracuse is probably bummed out they got in. Anyway, though, let's real quick talk about last weekend, and I mean pretty darn quick, because we got a whole tournament to talk about here.
Sure. For my summary, Chris, I'll start off on a positive note. I did like how Iowa State played. I mean, simply, if you're just looking for seniors, I don't know if there's a team in the country that has, like, more senior talent than they do. With four seniors that are all playing their butts off right now, I was happy Iowa State won the Big 12 tournament, and it wasn't Kansas, who got TCU in the first round, which I thought would get TCU in, but apparently they were a four seed in the NIT, so I guess that wasn't enough. But props for Iowa State winning it. For the ACC tournament, Chris, here's how I'll shave this. Carolina and Duke have played 6 halves this year. We've won 3, they've won 3. You know, I see it in my mind being a tie. Unfortunately, Duke did win that second game, but an inside joke we always kind of have with my buddies is that, you know, Carolina always tries to win the regular season, and Duke always tries to win the ACC tournament. So they got that done. They did finish the year off on a nice note. They played good basketball. You know, I don't think that Grayson Allen has done much, but they've finally been able to get a lot of that loaded freshman talent, I guess, to start performing. And it's tough for me to say positive things about that school. But I know that Tatum has really, I think, become their best player along with Kennard. So their defense is still pretty, I'd say, average, but Duke did get an ACC tournament win. I refused to watch that game against Notre Dame, but I did see they got a win. Oddly enough, Chris, the University of North Dakota.
I did see they got a win. Yeah, I saw that they got a win.
Yeah. But oddly enough, the University of North Dakota, where I went to for college for a couple of years, who's known for college hockey, actually made the tournament for the first time in their school history, playing Arizona, but they made it. Aside from that, you know, the Michigan story had the plane that kind of landed roughly and bounced off the runway, and I remember telling myself as
that
happened, like, watching
it. That's a hell of a way to start the week, Jesus.
I know. And then they had to, like, stay at the airport because they had to have investigation done and comments from the players. So I just remember telling myself, like, watch, you're going to win the tournament just because, you know, when stuff like that happens, it does seem kind of fitting, you know, that teams of obviously New Orleans is a much more tragic thing. But anything like that, it seems like sports seem to tie into when something happens, that team wins said event. Now, it'd be super crazy if Michigan won the whole thing, but overall, it was just a super fun week of conference title games. Obviously, as we mentioned on our show last week, it is always fun to see the small schools truly battle all out because they don't get the at-large bids, or many of them don't. But overall, I mean, Carolina, you know, I guess I'm not super upset they lost. They still got their one seed. Maybe they go in a little more even upset into the tournament. Losing to their rivals, that can maybe spur them even a little extra. But I thought it was a fun conference tournament week. I would say that the Big 12 teams up top kind of got knocked off quite a bit along with the Big 10. So those schools that were up top did kind of get knocked out quicker than expected, and that maybe caused a seeding to change a little bit slightly, maybe. Maybe Baylor went from a 2 to a 3 due to getting bounced out early and a couple of other things like that. But overall, yeah,
right.
Like the brackets are out now. You know, that's kind of my main takeaway. I will say, though, as we go into this, as I was discussing, I think, speaking of the conference tournaments and all the love people have been, has there ever been a year where you've seen, like, more respect from mid-majors? Just with watching it, it seems like there's a lot of extremely talented mid-majors this year. And maybe that's why kind of the bubble is kind of crafty, but just overall as we get into this show, it seems like there's more people picking upsets this year than I've ever really recalled in the last 10 years. So maybe a lot of these mid-major conferences you don't see on TV much because they don't get the ratings have a lot of super good teams this year. So that'll be kind of, I think, a theme to look out for because, I mean, we can talk about the Big 10 and Big 12 and all that, but I think those small-name schools might actually be better than average this year. Maybe that's just what I've been convinced of so far.
Well, and you know what? Maybe we need a new term for mid-major because mid-major usually represented a solid conference. You know what I mean? A mid-major, right? So it's a major in the mid-level, right? And so those teams that come out of these stronger conferences that were on the low. Well, some of these aren't necessarily coming out of strong conferences. They're just a strong team in that conference per se. So that might be something that kind of plays a part of it. Obviously, I'm happy where Minnesota got seeded. But then again, when you look at who they're playing, you're like, wow, okay. But would that be considered a great mid-major conference? Probably not. I think there's a couple of examples of that too. But yeah, you're right. I mean, if this is ever going to be the year when everything's so wide open, why not? You know, but in the flip side of that, since there's so many quality teams, it kind of makes me think that there might be a fair amount of chalk at times too. There'll still be some major upsets, but maybe they won't get out of the round of 32 as much. And speaking of the round of 32, we know, especially the recent 8 to 10 year stretch, we know being a number one seed in the round of 32, you are not safe. You are not safe. And when you look at it, you look at it this year, you're going to face a Badger team potentially or a West Virginia team. Or a Virginia Tech team. There's going to be some times where you look and go, yeah, that's not just a gimme game. Usually the 8-9 will at least have some quality to it, of course, as far as the matchup. They should anyway. I do have to say, though, when you start to look at this, I mean,
just the first round matchups are pretty impressive, but the round of 32, before we even get to the Sweet 16, because we're not really going to talk beyond the Sweet 16 this week, of course. Next week we'll be getting you to the Final Four through the two rounds, but I just kind of look around and this is going to be very interesting, man. So right off the bat, and by the way, you know, of course, like you said, there were a couple teams that got knocked off. I thought there was some really fun play in the Pac-12. There also was some injuries sustained as well. Speaking of, Oregon lost a player. I know my squad, Minnesota, lost their only senior, Marshall, our only freaking senior, Springs, who's really helped us out these last, last like month or so. He's done with an ACL, and, you know, it's not like I had a for sure Sweet 16 run this year, like at the beginning, you know, like especially in that five-game sure. winning streak. And I'm the type of person to just know where our program's been and be happy where we're at currently. But I more feel for the kid to be like, wow, man, your senior year heading into the tournament and you tear your ACL. So you're done. There's no next year or anything like that. That always sucks. And even some teams like Florida who lost a big rebounding defensive presence on the inside. So we do see some of that lingering as we head in. That's something we'll keep an eye on. And obviously if it happens during the tournament, that could, completely change things. You never know. But as far as these seeds go, obviously a team like Wisconsin stands out to a lot of people saying, what the hell's going on? How could they be an eighth seed? Like, where do you get eighth seed out of Wisconsin? Now, you know, obviously their non-conference is tricky, Marshall. Their non-conference schedule, because it's not like football where it's 5 and 6 and 8 years out. You know, you get these a lot closer. So you can control it, but still to an extent, it's not like you can just control it in general. It's still to an extent you can control it. So, you know, on the surface, heading into this year, not knowing about some clubs, You may look at it and go, wow, I guess I'm confused. Well, why would Wisconsin be there? And I, even though I'm going to make a point and judge their non-conference, or just in general, I shouldn't say judge their non-conference, because I think if you look at their non-conference, it does, like I said, I can see how at the beginning of the year they thought, hey, man, we're going to get challenged pretty majorly, you know? It just breaking down, I think that one stands out by far as the you know, to me, what other teams, I'm gonna kind of bring up their schedule and we're going to talk that through, but what other teams can you think of that got underseeded? I really can't think of anyone more underseeded than Wisconsin, but are there a couple other seeds where you go, really? Shouldn't they be a little higher than that?
The only, and I think Wisconsin alone is a mystery. And I mean, I've watched a lot of shows lately after the brackets came out, and a lot of people, whether it be on ESPN or podcast or CBS, like, I don't think anyone seems to know how they actually did become that seed. But besides Wisconsin, I think you can kind of spin a little bit of an argument for Wichita State, but it's kind of a back-and-forth deal, because I think that Wichita State's name itself and their resume is incredible, but they also did not have many top 50 wins at all because their division was so bad.
You're talking about their late their branding, not their resume, because their resume would be their schedule. You're talking about that we know of them, the eye test.
The eye test they appear to be of a team doesn't appear to be a 10 seed, but since their division was so bad this year, their schedule isn't that impressive. But I do think that them being a 10 seed was a little bit of a head-scratcher, along with the Badgers. But I would put Badgers 1, Wichita State 2. And then for my third little needle picking would be how SMU and Cincy both got 6s, because they appear to both have pretty good years this year in a respectable conference. I mean, much more highly respectable than what you'd say like the Missouri Valley was this year at Wichita State. I mean, I think that they were pretty good in the AAC. So for them to both get 6s, I think that's a little bit of a slap in the face of those teams, because I mean, Cincinnati and SMU's resumes are pretty impressive. So I could see them maybe going up a spot or two. So those would be kind of my three overall little gripes. The Syracuse thing, it didn't bother me. It's like, don't be 2-11 on the road, and don't lose to Boston College, who was garbage this year. They won 2 games in their whole ACC. So the Syracuse angle, I guess it depends what kind of stance you want to take on this debate. But them missing the tournament didn't spur me the wrong way. I just think he got a little more national clout due to the fact that Boeheim is a coach that's been there for a long time, and Syracuse is a strong tradition basketball team. But, I would say those would be my three bullet points. Obviously, though, as you mentioned, and every podcast and show I've heard of, no one can really put their finger on the Badgers. And as a friend of mine said who's a Badger fan, I don't mind so much the Badgers being an 8 seed, because they did have, a very good Big Ten regular season, a very good run in the tournament, and their non-conference, they did lose to some very talented teams. But then why would the Gophers be a 5 seed, who did have a better non-conference but not as good of a Big Ten tournament run or a Big Ten regular season and an awesome head-to-head? So, just as an example, it seems to be very similar. But the Badgers being an 8 is a head-scratcher, and I've not really heard anyone give a great answer than I can hear that from, I guess, in my opinion, Chris.
Well, if I were you and this was Duke, I'd be giving you a great answer somehow, some way. I'd be pulling out of my ass. But I don't agree with you on SMU and Cincinnati. That's not to say that they won't advance to the Sweet 16. But I don't really – I think that they're kind of hollow. Their records look shiny, and I think that they're decent clubs. I don't really believe in Cincinnati on the outside per se, making a – Elite 8 run or anything like that, but I do believe potentially in SMU. They're a long club, but as far as what they did in the season, I don't know. I don't agree with that. I mean, the example you gave was correct, I thought, as far as comparing it to the conference you did, but I think that was a little down. This year, UConn was down. There were some other teams that were a little bit down. Georgetown, obviously, as well. But, yeah, the Wisconsin thing, it's kind of it is a head-scratcher. It is a head-scratcher. And I don't think they should be 8th, but I don't think that they should be 4th either. And it's kind of weird because, like I said, here's their – the problem with them is their quality – their number of quality wins is their problem, if you really look at it. Because on the schedule, year in and year out, you're thinking this is a pretty good non-conference schedule. I mean, Creighton's been better. They're obviously good this year. You lost the game, but you did play them. Tennessee is another team that was not Tennessee that we have known maybe in the last 10 to 15 years that they can make some runs. And then when they get in the tournament, you never know what the hell they're going to do. You know, they've made some nice little runs in the last like 7-8 years, but still this year, not really. Georgetown, another example, not much there, is it, this year? What would you say about Georgetown? You know, their coach is on the hot seat. That's about it, right? But yet, you'd think at the beginning of the year that's a good non-conference, though. You know, it's not bad at all. And then North Carolina, obviously number 1 seed. Now they didn't win the game, but they challenged themselves. Syracuse, they did win, but they didn't make the tournament, so it doesn't look as good as normal. And then here it is, Marshall, Oklahoma. So you had an Oklahoma team, had this been last year, or especially 2-3 years ago, that'd be a different team. So it's kind of weird. Same with Marquette. They beat Marquette, and that was their quality win this year because that's a tournament team. But on the surface, Marcy, you go, wow, they really tried to go challenge themselves. But I think they ran into a case where the teams that they thought they were challenging themselves, the non-conference, turned out to not be good. And then to double it up, like when you go – like I agree. When you beat a team twice, and I know a lot of people brought up overtime. Yeah, you still beat them, though. You beat Minnesota twice, you should be at least in their range, whether that's a 6, a 5. I don't believe they should be a 4, but I could see it being Minnesota being 6 and then being a 5. The problem is, Marshall, when you get in the conference play, it gets real murky. So who did they play and beat in conference play? Okay, well, we know they beat Minnesota twice. They lost to Purdue. They beat Michigan. And obviously lost to Michigan. They did beat Maryland, but they lost to Northwestern at home. They lost to Ohio State. That's not good. They lost down the stretch to Iowa. They lost to Michigan State. So you start to look and go, what's your best win? Okay, Northwestern and Minnesota twice and Maryland are their best wins on the whole year. So you go, okay, well, Minnesota, who did they have to face? Well, they had to play road games at Purdue, at Northwestern, at Maryland, at Wisconsin. They had to play Maryland twice, Wisconsin twice, Northwestern twice, Purdue, like I said, on the road. So you go, huh. And then a team like Arkansas, as funny as it sounds, turns out to be like going, we lost, but they had to go on the road at Florida State. You know, they played a Vanderbilt team that they beat. They played Arkansas that they beat in the non-conference. So it's kind of wishy-washy. I'm not as a Minnesota fan, I'm not downing Wisconsin. I don't think they should be the AC, but I'll tell you what, if they would have been 6, I'd have been just fine. If they would have put Minnesota at 6 and Wisconsin at 6 someplace else, I'd have been just fine with that. I do think 8 is too high, but when you really look at their schedule, they tried to challenge themselves, Marshall, but it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not their fault. The only problem is once they got in the conference play, their conference schedule was light compared to some other teams, and they didn't really do that great in it. I think the best thing was winning, you know, beating Minnesota twice. But they had a chance against Purdue. They had a chance against Northwestern. They had a chance against some of these other clubs. And they actually lost. So the more I look at it, I go, huh, maybe it's not as bad as I thought, although I still think 8's bad.
Yeah, but then on the other hand, to say that the Badgers' Big Ten regular season wasn't that good, yet they still finished, I believe, 2nd in the Big Ten. So then that really kind of makes a stretch.
I'm saying the schedule. I'm not saying the record.
Yeah.
I'm saying the schedule, who they had to play compared to the other top 4 teams and who they had to play. And obviously the Minnesota is the direct thing. Look at the Minnesota schedule in the Big Ten compared to – there's no comparison.
Yeah. I just it definitely is just one where you're really like, huh. I mean, I kind of had the – again, that friend of mine, Ian, I mentioned, who's the Badger fan with me, I was addressing the show. We were kind of thinking that if they had won the Big Ten tournament, you know, and that's a whole other thing of that, you know, the bracket people always say, well, we always hold a slot open at place A or place B for how that game finishes. It's like, well, you probably don't, but because it's only 30 minutes before the bracket comes out. But we were kind of thinking that if Wisconsin had beat Michigan in the Big Ten championship conference game, it'd be a 5 seed. But if they lost, they're like, oh, 6 or 7. So to see the 8 and then to see
that's
them
what
against
I thought.
The best team in the tournament.
Because,
you know, even being, I guess, a Badger fan I am, they had kind of a lull there in near the middle to the end of the schedule. But, again, they played good in the Big Ten tournament.
Some of them were against the other team that they lost to, too, you know.
Yeah. So, but overall, I mean, I just think that is the one where everyone's like, huh.
Yeah.
And I mean, come Thursday morning when the ball tips off, I mean, then it truly doesn't matter. And if you are Wisconsin, you have the talent to beat Nova. It's just that's quite a tough freaking game to start off the tournament with. I mean,
as you can see, you got
to
get by Virginia Tech before you even think about Nova.
Who is a respectable squad as well. So I think they did kind of get the short end of the stick. You know, the theme I've heard that I kind of took away from the weekend was, and the complaint to exclude out the Syracuse part, but it was just like the committee changes their mind every year. You know, some years you do hear the theme of, well, it's who you played in your non-conference, or it's how's your RPI, or it's how are your bad losses, or this year was, well, you know, what have you done late? It does seem like
this one was
there
wins.
Always does seem to be.
This one was wins.
Yeah.
To me. That clearly stood out. Who had the best wins?
Yeah. And that was the point Jay Billis made of, well, Syracuse is a team that could beat teams in the tournament. Well, hold on.
Right.
You know, are you just going to discard a loss to Boston College, who went 2-15 in the ACC? So, and that's one thing, just to quickly cross sports here, is I do believe college football tries to keep their MO for how you make the Final Four the same, because they don't want to deal with that gripe. It does seem
it's
that
so
every
much
year
easier,
we do our selection.
It's so much easier because you have so many less games, you know what I mean?
When you lose, you get knocked down
a lot of times, especially if you have a weak non-conference. But I do remember
like a handful of years ago, Chris, where people were like, well, what's your RPI? What's your strength of schedule? That was a huge, huge theme of Selection Sunday, and that wasn't commonly used this year. So, and that was the one point I believe it was Calipari was trying to make, or one of the ESPN people that they interviewed Calipari. Obviously, Kentucky's in, and they're in Carolina's region, which is a little scary. But I think his theme was is try to keep it as a common theme, you know, because you always do hear the selection meeting say, well, our theme this year was this, and they didn't do this. But then, you know, when we do our show next year, it might be a different theme. So it does kind of put people in a tough spot, because to kind of wrap this up, as you mentioned, you know, Wisconsin did play a good non-conference, and they played teams who are respectable, but you know, like I said a couple of years ago, was how's your RPI rank? Well, their RPI is not as good as yours, so therefore we're going to seat them higher. So it is kind of a topsy-turvy thing. But overall, I always kind of like to see what Lenardi does. And Lenardi picked 67 out of 68. The only thing he had switched up was Syracuse and USC. And it's amazing how he picks them out right. But there really wasn't much overall griping. Yeah, I would say that the Badger one is tough. And Wichita State, I think that they truly are a better team than a 10 seed, in all honesty, from a betting standpoint in Vegas. But their win-loss record played this year doesn't show it. But that's a very, very scary 10 seed, because they probably have the skills of a team that is very similar to a Wisconsin or Minnesota. So,
have we mentioned them once on the show this year?
We haven't, but
get to the tournament, now everybody's saying, look at they're killing the eye test. Well, maybe. I don't think that, like I said, no matter what happens, I think that your resume, who you beat, has to stand out. Now, they may make it to the Sweet 16. I'm not doubting that.
Sure.
But
yeah.
You can't go just off eye test either. And that's what I think that I like about this year, is they didn't just go. Now, I think the Badgers should have been like a 6 or 7, right?
But I think.
But I like how they didn't just rest on their laurels and be like, well, Wisconsin's pretty damn good. I mean, they have a great program, so we're going to just bump them up. Or even Syracuse. Well, let's just add Syracuse in there, because, dude, they got a good – we know they're good, you know, that type of thing. So I do like that they hold on to their guns, though, with that too, and that living in the past doesn't just earn you that either. You know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting, man. Let's start getting into it. Let's start picking it up, okay?
Here we go.
So there's some you know, games that we won't even mention, okay? So what we should do is just go region by region. Let's start – and the
East.
You know what I mean? I think that's the best way. We don't even have to talk about some of these first rounds, because we know what's going to happen, or if it happens, nobody's going to freaking pick it beyond that. The people that go to the school or went to the school or live in the state, and it's a small school and yada, yada, yada. But, so Wisconsin, Virginia Tech. I like the Badgers. I'm assuming you do too, but that's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, I picked them. I mean, I think the good thing for them is that they're always a pretty pesky team to knock out of the tournament. Since I'm going on my vacation, this is my sixth year. The Badgers have made it out of my vacation weekend 4 out of the 5 years I've been on the trip. They had a bump with Ole Miss 1 year, but they're a tough test team, and they're playing a team in Virginia Tech, who hasn't made the tournament for 10 years. So I'm with you. I expect a close game, Chris, but I think the Badgers find a way to get it done, and maybe they'll be a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, not the early need one, but their season could be a little extra motivation. You know, it's kind of cliche, but I think that could be a little extra fire under their seat.
I agree. I definitely think it will. Is there an upset there that stands out to you that, you know, Baylor, we know that the last 2 years they've had some struggles. I remember a handful of years they made it to the Elite Eight, but since then they've really had some struggles. They can't lose to New Mexico State again in the first round, right? Not that they lost New Mexico State, but losing again as a high seed. I don't see that. Do you think Marquette can beat South Carolina? What do you see as maybe, you know, UNC Wilmington? You know, they're in North Carolina. Maybe you'll cheer for them. Well, I mean, what do you see anything in that bracket that stands out to you?
Out of all my brackets, Chris, this is my crazy one. I do have UNC Wilmington beating Virginia. I mean, you got to pick upsets somewhere, and this was kind of my go crazy region. So I got UNC Wilmington winning just because, I mean, Virginia has been cold down the stretch, and they're a team that isn't going to run you out the gym. They'll lock you down on defense, but their offense isn't lights out. So I picked a UNC Wilmington upset there. I know they are kind of a trendy pick. They're a team that did come to the tournament last year. It seems like a lot of the teams that are not in a Power 5 conference this year who are back in the tournament were back here last year. And it's like, all right, well, you know, we did it last
year.
It
better seeded.
Yeah.
You know, like the Gophers opponent.
yeah. So that's what kind of my theme is. Like, man, could this be a year where 12 and 13 is really kick butt? So I picked Wilmington, and just for craziness, I did pick New Mexico State. I mean, obviously, Baylor's a favorite, but Baylor, they have those moments where you're like, you know, what's happening?
Well, the last two years, they've been knocked off, too.
Yeah, and that Adrian Branch, I think, said nicely on the expert show. He said, they are the best 38-minute team in the country.
Yeah,
but
for yeah,
final
I saw
minutes
that.
Of the game for them, their coach seems to struggle down the stretch. Their players kind of lose faith. You know, whatever. So I did pick UNC Wilmington winning, and I did pick New Mexico State winning to go against Chalk in that region. Obviously, the one side note to make when you do fill out your brackets is numbers do say you should pick a winner who wins the game either tonight or tomorrow, because since they've done the 11 seeds being fought and fixed into the tournament, and 11 seeds made the Sweet 16 every year. So I think it's that motivation you get from winning that Tuesday or Wednesday, which is kind of like an extra practice and confidence. So if you were
you
to follow suit, yeah, you get in the groove. So in theory, you should pick either the Providence USC winner or K-State and Wake Forest. I'm picking SMU because, like you, I think they are a talented team. But that could easily come back to bite me because, you know, you'd assume
that
either
the – Yeah,
because
that's what I'm eyeing Providence to USD. I'm eyeing that as an upset right there for SMU, whoever comes out of
that. You get that extra game in, you walk in, your emotion's riding high, and you're like, all right, we made the tournament, we snuck in, now we won a game, now we got something to prove. We got our first game going, now we're not rusting, there we go. But, yeah,
VCU
those might be
came out of
there.
That. VCU took it all the way to the
mm-hmm.
Final Four. You know, so that's – it's almost like
absolutely.
They're setting up. It's, Marshall, it's almost like they're setting up that potential now, if you look at the team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're like, you know what? Watch this. This is going to be tricky. You know, I like that they – instead of it being a 15 or a 16, you know, I like how they
sure.
Move them to 11s too. So you do have two 11s in there too, not just – because it used to be, hey, Go get whomped, you know? Like, yeah, this is sweet. No,
yeah.
Go get your ass kicked in the tournament. Whereas I like the 211s that they added in there. And like you said, it has a track record. For me, I do have Marquette potentially pulling an upset there on South Carolina.
Okay.
And I have a circle around SMU, Providence, and USC, meaning SMU potentially could beat Baylor because that's the people that are already kind of lining up that, especially in that neck of the woods. And that could happen. I like what I see out of SMU, not as much out of Cincinnati. They defend their ass off, but, man, their outside shooting is rough. And I think that fog up their big, and then what are they going to do? But that's something out there. As far as the second round goes, let's get to the Sweet 16. So, obviously, right now, Villanova in the Badgers. Well, how do you see? You think Nova's going to get that? They have snuck down the stretch, pulling some games out down to the wire. You know what I mean? That could be just a natural thing because you're playing your league. They know you, that type of thing. But there are some talks where the one thing Nova's missing this year is that big per se that they had last year. They have guys that they got from last year back, of course. Some key guys, but they obviously are down a point guard from last year, and they're down a big, and I think the big is key for me, because that sometimes, you know this as well as I, your outside shooting just doesn't always work, and sometimes to be able to feed that big and get fouled or get a quick bucket, an easier bucket close to the rim, goes a long way. Do you think the Badgers, with that chip on their shoulder that's got to be the size of a gorilla, do you really think that they're? Do you think they knock off Nova at that point, or you think Nova's just got that? They're gonna get them.
I mean, they got the team to do it. I will say that the way the media covered this region, with the way Duke finished, you kind of would have assumed Duke is the one seed. Now clearly they are the two seed, Chris, but. The love they got, I actually didn't see a lot of people picking Nova to win this region. A lot of people had Duke. So it I guess it's possible that due to the love Duke was getting, that I guess you can kind of slide under the rug as being the number one overall seed in the tournament, which is odd to say. But, I mean, Nova's tested. I'm still a little bitter about last year. I wouldn't mind a rematch of the national championship. I don't know
what happened last year.
There,
but you want to talk about it? You can open up. I don't know what happened last year. I'm not sure what you're talking about.
I kind of forgot too. Anyways, I picked the Badgers in my bracket. I mean, I think head to head they got the talent to get it done. Obviously, they will be an underdog. But man, that is a hell of a second round game. I mean, talk about a bloodbath. But I've said before, The Badgers always seem to play very well in the tournament. And even Nova kind of be like, seriously, like you got to give us a team with a chip on their shoulder that's gone to the Sweet 16 3 years in a row now, and you give them to us, like, holy cow, like, let's go. So I'm taking the Badgers, Chris. I mean, I expect that to be a very fun, competitive game. Two incredibly talented teams. We've seen the highs and lows of Wisconsin this year. Some way with the second half of how they played against your Gophers in their second game, that's an incredible basketball team that could beat Nova. But is it the team that blew a 10-point lead to Iowa down the stretch of an easy game at home? Well, that team's going to get right out the gym. So who knows? And Jay Wright's also held a couple. Yeah, I'll stop there. But I'm picking Badgers.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, let's not break it down too deep.
We've got some other games to cover here.
Okay, I did take them, though,
to beat Nova.
But I wouldn't doubt if that sneaks into overtime, that game. That is a hell of a second-round game, man, no doubt about it. So I'm assuming you got Florida, or did you ride that wave with your UNC Wilmington?
I rode Wilmington into the Sweet 16.
Yeah. I know Florida, the last month or so, Florida was really peaking. I think they got hit to 9 or 11 in a row or whatever. They lost that big. They weren't – they lost back-to-back games at the end, down the stretch. But Man, I'm in there. I'm really stuck on this one because I had Virginia win in the first round, but sure, they play in a tougher conference, but the way they ended that year, it's really tough to not think they're going to lose. And Florida is like money at getting to the Elite Eight. Getting past it right now, I don't know about all that. But they're good. They're really good at getting the Elite Eight in the last, you know, I think it was three straight trips to the Elite Eight, if I remember correctly. So I'm going to go with the Gators, but I'm on shaky ground, and that's why I think, you know, maybe that, you know, that UNC game could, you know, that could happen. That's not a bad pick there. So you have New Mexico State going against SMU. Is that true?
Yes. Yeah, you're right, sir. And I did have SMU winning that game.
Okay. I was going to say, wow, you're really going on a limb, man. I mean, cause you got to let something happen, Marshall. Just let them happen because not everybody's going to pick them. But that's I like whatever comes out of that. I actually like against Baylor, and maybe this is going to be the year Baylor goes, you know what? Everybody go F yourselves. We're going to make a run. We're gonna actually get out of the first get. But they're gonna. Mm-hmm. It's going to be some work. And like I said, Baylor and SMU, you know, in the same state, the little rivalry. A lot of people, like I said, that I saw, a lot of people picking SMU there. I have that one circled, though. So maybe I should. You know, I'm gonna actually say Baylor does make the Sweet 16. It'll be beating right. Providence. Or USC. I have Marquette against Duke. I have Duke advancing to the Sweet 16. What says
you? I got South Carolina beating Duke that are at home in the home state. Tar Heel fans will be at that game cheering against Duke as well. And South Carolina
not
plays,
at home because, you know, they're close by.
Yeah, true. But South Carolina plays gritty defense. They're probably going to need to have a game in like the 50s or 60s with Duke because Duke's still more offensive based. But I couldn't make my hand right Duke in the Sweet 16, Chris. I think they'll beat Troy, but that's where their road ends. So I have, you know, a 7-6-12 and
you're going
eight,
wild.
And,
the East is just all over the place.
Mm-hmm,
it's a make or break
mm-hmm,
for it. You better hope
that's my crazy
that
bracket.
The champion doesn't come out of that one. although, you know, unless it is one of those teams that you picked and then you'd be like, well, I got more points than other people because other people didn't even pick them. So
mm-hmm,
yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
kind of interesting. That's kind of interesting. Yeah. But, let's move on to the West where the Gonzaga Bulldogs, the Zags or the Bulldogs, which one are you going to say? They are number one, Arizona. Closed very strong, got their W, paid back Oregon for that butt whooping they put on them. They're number two. Number three, Florida State, who's been up and down, looked really great through a stretch, and then looked beatable through a stretch as well. Maryland really had a good start. They fell off as well. They got a sixth seed. Many people think that they should have been a little bit lower. Maybe that would have been the switch around for Wisconsin and Maryland. That may be a nice little switch there. I look ahead to, Notre Dame, West Virginia, potentially. That's a hell of a game, the way the Irish closed down the stretch. They look very, very strong. They made it to the ACC championship. And like I said, closed super strong down the stretch. Them and Florida State actually ended up getting the spots that we felt like they were going to get. It just took them a while. You know, it's like, whoa. Okay, maybe not. Oh, yeah, no, they got them because Duke faltered, at least regular season-wise, down the stretch. Northwestern Vandy. Let's start with the 8-9. It's always a good place to start. Now, Vandy, this is a battle of academics as well. I remember somebody saying, you know, they could maybe get extra points after by challenging each other to, like, a debate or an SE, you know, taking a – the SET or something like that, you know what I mean? But what do you think here? You think Northwestern is just happy to be here and they get beat by Vandy, or you think they're gonna carry it on to the next round and actually make something of their trip, their first trip in school history for Northwestern.
I mean, I saw Northwestern fight their butts off to play against Purdue at the last game of the Big Ten regular season. I saw them beat Wisconsin. They had a decent run in the Big Ten tournament. I think it carries over, and I think the only reason Vanderbilt's in the tournament, Chris, is because they beat Florida three times. Vanderbilt's got, I believe, 14
losses.
That's a great
call.
I mean, the only reason they're in. And it's a valid reason, obviously, Florida being a four seed. The only reason Vandy made the tournament is because they beat Florida three times. So I'm taking Northwestern. I think that their miracle season does go an extra game. I think they would have their hands full in the next game. But, yeah, I'm taking Northwestern for the win there, bud.
Me too. But, you know, it's so funny. I did not realize they had 15 losses. I knew they had double-digit losses. But now that I look clear, I'm like, oh, my God, they have – wow. Yeah, wow, that is pretty crazy. My Gopher Club beat them in the non-conference, I believe. Yeah, that's interesting. That's really interesting. Some people are circling in Xavier in Maryland. Xavier beat Butler and had some big wins during the regular season. Another one, well, you know, Florida Gulf Coast is back. Obviously, they're playing another Florida team, an FSU team that you were pretty high on mid season. Then late, they kind of squandered it. But they did manage to get it back to actually finish in a good spot in the conference, in the best conference in the country. Another one, St. Mary's VCU is, man, just on paper, it feels like a pick 'em. And what the hell, how many times do you talk about VCU beyond – talking about Shaka or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, how many times we bring up VCU this year? But that's one of those, are they living on Cinderella stories of past? You know what I mean? I'm kind of stuck on that. I don't know. We've seen St. Mary's. I've actually seen St. Mary's more. I've seen him in like three or four games, not just against the Gonzaga. But can Florida Gulf Coast, I mean, that run that they had, where it was kind of like a throwback to Loyola Marymount. It was either a dunk or a three. Like, they would just catch fire. They were just on fire there, and that came out of way left field. Some of these things, they don't come out of left field, but I think this one does. What stands out to you over there? Do you see a Xavier beating Maryland? Do you see something else happen over here, or is it pretty much chalk?
My one against chalk, Chris, is I do have Xavier beating Maryland. I think Maryland was just way too super inconsistent down the second half of the Big Ten season. Obviously, their Big Ten tournament record wasn't impressive. Melo Trimble has just kind of faded away a little bit in the second half of the year. So I got Xavier winning, and I've always kind of enjoyed watching St. Mary's play. I think they're a fun team. So maybe I'm doing like the reverse psychology, but I got VCU winning that game. I think that VCU is just a much more athletic team, and if they can get St. Mary's to play a little bit faster, I think St. Mary's is in a boatload of trouble. So my against the chalk this in this region, a little more sane, you could argue, than my East, is Xavier as an 11 and VCU as a 10 over 7. I mean, I know that's against chalk, but a 10-7 is not really a massive upset in most people's minds when picking brackets.
Yeah, usually it is a pick 'em type game, no doubt about it. And I like it, and I second your Xavier over Maryland. Otherwise, I do have it chalk. In fact, I do have St. Mary's over VCU, but that could be a very good game. And sometimes you pick because you at least know what you got in one team, and you don't quite know. Sometimes in others, and I'll just admit it, VCU, I'm sure they play defense. I'm sure they pick you up at, you know, full court. I'm sure they do all the things they did when Shaka was there. We'll see. We'll definitely see. They got the mojo going, that's for sure, usually, when it comes to this month, the month of March. So a game that really stands out to me, Notre Dame and West Virginia. This is a hell of a game to make it into the Sweet 16. I'm going to ride Notre Dame. They got an inside presence, but they can also shoot. I think they went through some – I mean, it's like a broken record. They went through some rough spots. Everybody went through some rough spots, it seems like, this year pretty much, beyond
True.
Gonzaga. It just it was really a matter how many weeks it was going to last, whether it was only going to be two or three out of five games or something like that. But I'm going to go with Notre Dame. I'm really stuck on this one, but I'm going with Notre Dame. I have Gonzaga beating Northwestern. I do have Florida State beating Xavier. And then I have Arizona moving on. So I have Arizona, Florida State, Irish, and the Zags. What do you got over there?
I copy and pasted that, bud. I will say though, Notre Dame, they got a ton of love this weekend, it appeared to me, and it's just that their defense is, in my opinion, average, and they don't go down low. So I guess if you do have bigs, like, you know, make them guard you down low. That was an interesting thing when Carolina played them was. I mean, Notre Dame chucks threes like it's going out of style, but they have guys that do it very well. So, they're you know, we talk about how certain teams have a certain type of offense, Chris. Notre Dame, they definitely stick to their MO. We're just going to hang around the three-point line and let it rip, and they don't turn the ball over, which I guess is kind of maybe the one really important thing to say for playing West Virginia because they really want to press you. So, I don't know. But, yeah, I copy and paste you for picks there. I think the Notre Dame-West Virginia game will get a lot of hype. Two popular coaches. But unfortunately, West Virginia really doesn't have a super popular big either. So, yeah, I'm following suit with you on that, bud.
Yeah, and it seems like they really got into this now. They Notre Dame, as far as their program and how they're building it and how they built it, I should say, and they play pretty good in recent years. You know, in the tourney, no doubt about it. You're right, though. A lot of times on the floor, they can have four guys that can hit the three. And what was that guy, that big that they had the last 2 years prior to this? I can't remember it. But I disagree with saying they don't have a big because I think that Colson, that Bonzi Colson, I think he's a combo guy. I mean, the guy averages, hold on. The guy averages 10 boards a game. And in college, 10 boards a game is pretty damn good. That means you're boarding. Now, he's only 6'5", but he is two. Let me look. I'm right on a stat sheet, so I might as well look. He's like 6'6", 6'5", 225. So I don't know about no big at all. To me, he kind of reminds me of the bigs they've had lately where they can step out and shoot, but they do run four dudes around them that can shoot. But you're right. It's not like they feed the big guy. So I know what you're saying. He is a tweener that can play in and out. But you don't get 10 rebounds a game and be on the outside the whole game, I guess, is what I'm saying. But it really doesn't matter because we both had him moving on. Let's move to the Midwest where I reside up here in the Midwest and where you are at currently, right? You're currently here.
I'm flying out to Orlando pretty much after the show is over.
Right, okay. Nice. So Kansas, number one. They have some internal things going on right now that could bite them. It could also bring them together. They're young freshmen, you know, gotten to some – it's kind of weird how it's kind of – sometimes these – you know, not every story, surprisingly, gets into the press. Not everyone. Most of them do. Most of them do. 9 out of 10 do, but it's funny how I think another example would be Mixon. I know it's college football. I know it's a different sport, but that wasn't really a big story, and I didn't even know he did it until all of a sudden they started bringing it up, and then when the video surfaced, obviously it blew up even more, but I didn't even know he had done that. Oklahoma, they're going to start to get questioned a little bit too, because their quarterback just got busted for trying to outrun some police, and they have video of it now that he got tackled.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously needs to work on his scrambling ability, but that's a whole different topic. No, I'm just kidding. But Iowa State closed very strong. They ended up winning the Big 12 tournament, and just down the stretch of the actual season they did, because there was a moment there where you look and go, yeah, they're going to have an off year. They'll probably sneak in, but here they are, fifth seed. Louisville, who I think is pretty damn solid, they're number two. Michigan State got the seven. That Oklahoma State-Michigan game is kind of an interesting one as well. Michigan State snuck in by the skin of their teeth at number nine. How do you see that one breaking down? I always like starting with the 8-9.
I think that obviously you got two very talented coaches, but I would say the one has better players this year. I got Miami. I think that Miami plays good defense. Larrañaga always has good guards. And come tournament time, obviously this is no shot Izzo. But, I mean, they both have good teams. But I just think that with two good coaches, I think that Miami has better players to use this year. And Michigan State, for Izzo standards, they just didn't have that good of a year, really. I mean, I just think Miami's a better team because they're very good defensively. And I don't see Michigan State really finding a way to sneak across this one. So it would be weird, Chris, to think that Izzo could have two first-round exits. Obviously, last year's was a shock.
Yeah, that was way more strange, right?
Yeah. This year, it wouldn't really be a huge shot at anyone, but nonetheless, it would be weird to think of Izzo having back-to-back first-round exits for a guy that basically always used to almost be a shoo-in for the Elite Eight, which I guess is about as big of a confidence as you can give a coach. But I got your Hurricanes. I know we're crossing sports for fandom, but I got your Hurricanes winning their first-round game against the Sparties.
And I'm just going to go opposite. I'm going to go Michigan State. They had injuries this year, clearly, but they did get some of them back, started playing a little better. That is a toss-up. I hear what you're saying about Miami, but I think Izzo's going to say, you know what, not on my watch. I'm not losing back-to-back, but you're right, though. And speaking of, that hits home way too close with the Michigan State last year losing as a second seed to the 15 seed, because that 15 seed improved upon their seed and are now going against the Gophers. What were you going to say, though?
I was going to say, you know, for Iowa State in that region, I got them winning quite a few, but it is interesting because people have been talking Nevada, and they say Nevada's got a great offense. So it's like normally for Iowa State, if you're going to beat Iowa State, I would recommend you do it defensively, because if you want to run and gun with them, and I'll tip my cap to it, but I like Iowa State to win their first-round game, especially because if you're playing an offensive team, find me a better offensive team than Iowa State. So it could be just a really fun game to watch. We haven't really done like the fun ones to watch yet as we've gone through this, but I mean, obviously they all are for the tournament time, but I'm just a little fascinated that people so it's like, really, you're going to out offense Iowa State? Well, if that's the case, like, get ready for like 95-92. I got Iowa State winning, but if Nevada's a loaded offensive team, that'd be a super fun one to watch. The only first round against chalk I have, Chris, is Rhode Island, and I made that pick just simply based off TV shows I watched.
Everybody picked that, but now it's weird because Creighton made a nice little run too, you know, and they played some quality clubs.
Yeah, I guess I was sold. I got politically spun on Rhode Island. I think that they're a trendy pick. They did look super good on Sunday. They smoked VCU very badly, and they won their conference tournament very easily. So I guess I'll just listen to the Twitter media in this situation. But that is my only game against chalk in that region. Do you have any upsets, obviously, Louisville ain't losing to Jacksonville State. And I think Michigan, Oklahoma State, which could be a close game, but I think, speaking of carrying momentum, I think Michigan does the same, buddy, from the Big Ten tournament to the national tournament. I bet a lot of people probably have Oklahoma State picked to win that game because they did win, like, their last, like, 10 out of 13 games this year. What was the what's your spin on the Michigan-Oklahoma State and the Creighton-Rhode Island, my friend?
I am so stuck on Creighton right now because they did make a decent run. I know that they don't have a key member of their team on the floor anymore.
Sure.
But it's been a while since that happened. And they've earned some wins since then. So I'm really stuck on it, man. I mean, I want to do the Rhode Island thing because I also feel like now that Oregon lost the key clog, that might be the spot. You know, no matter what, I have Creighton or Rhode Island beating the Ducks in the third round just because of that injury. But I'm stuck. You said Rhode Island. I'll go against the what – you're right, though, across the board. People are talking about Rhode Island, man. Really, seriously. And don't get me wrong, this is one. That's why I do more than one bracket, because this will be one I have circled. You circle about six or eight games, and you go, huh, I really don't know. What I'll do is I'm going to make some of those opposites, you know what I mean? And this is one I'll hone in on and go, yeah, this one I'll – for the show I'll do Creighton, but you damn sure, you know, that I'll definitely put Rhode Island to the Sweet 16 – in one of my brackets, no doubt about it. But other than that, I got Michigan too. That Walton, man. I mean, the Gophers started out just flat as hell against Michigan, and they jumped out. I think it was 25-13 or 27-13 or 12. Whatever, they jumped on us. Now, you know, Minnesota credit, they did even the score, but Walton down the stretch just took care of business. And just in general, I mean, even the last time the Gophers faced them at home, I'm not going to say 100% lucky. I believe it went into overtime. But, man, we kind of got lucky down the stretch of that game because Michigan really closed strong, and not just in the Big Ten tournament. Of course, they did that as well. I got Michigan as well. I guess the biggest thing, I think, do we both have Kansas moving along? I know you're anti-Kansas, so I'm not sure if Miami's going to do it. But do you have Kansas at least getting the Sweet 16 or – you know, since 2008, they've had their issues as the number one seed, Marshall. I mean, we know it's well documented. It's very well documented. In fact, I documented some of it now that I bring it up. I did document some of it while I'm watching these shows trying to get some information. And 2016, they lost. No big thing there. They got to the Elite Eight, and they lost the champion, Villanova. Sweet 16, they got beat by Michigan State. But in 2010, 2 years after the round of 32, they got beat by Northern Iowa. Got beat by VCU the year after that as well as the number one seed. And the number one seeds tend to start to go down in the Sweet 16 in the round of 32. This is not anything new. By the way, I know you're going to like this. Kentucky holds the most all-time appearances at 56 over Kansas, over UCLA, and, of course, over your North Carolina Tar Heels. Just thought I'd throw that in, bud.
Appreciate that. I am picking them to win, but I'm hoping that the upset will occur and my sheet will just, you know, yeah, that might should be good enough. The one thing I heard was Miami does play super good D, and that kind of it. Most teams, you do not want to try and maybe outgun Kansas unless you're Iowa State that one day who hit 18 threes and God bless them. I pick KU, but I will be cheering loudly in Orlando somewhere, Chris, for an upset of that because they do have a reputation of choking. My buddy's dad always gets New York Times, and the headline in this past Friday or Saturday was Kansas always wins Big 12 regular season, always bounces out early in conference tournament, then gets upset. That is kind of their MO. Like, 13th year now they've won the Big 12 tournament. This is the third out of the last 4 years that Iowa State's won the Big 12 conference tournament. And KU, just they have that little something that stings them. And funny you mention that, the Ali Farouk Minaj Northern Iowa shot, that was kind of my last straw for, okay, I need to start going on this trip, because that was a location where the trip I'm going on, every year we go to a different first-round site. Now, this crew I'm joining has done this now for 26 years. My best friend I go with, his dad and his best friend started 26 years ago. So this is my sixth year. This is my best friend's, I believe, 15th year. They were at the game when Northern Iowa beat Kansas. And I remember watching that game with my dad. And I was sitting on the couch. I'm like, man, because my buddy had always kind of invited me, but whether it was like money or work, I could never quite make it happen. And the year after that, I did make it, but that was the last straw. So 2 years after that, I went to Nashville, and now this year we're going to Orlando. That was kind of my last straw. Man, this basketball trip is super
cool.
You're
just
cool.
Budgeted. You're like, it's
happen.
In my budget. It's in my yearly budget.
Yeah.
I have to put
yeah,
that
I found a way to pull some strings, Chris, make it happen. Granted, my budget portfolio is not exactly what you consider a caliber for my financial ways, but this is a trip I always factored in. And I always get kind of grief because I never go to the games, really. I just enjoy the checking out the downtown atmosphere of sport bars and restaurants. But yeah, so we'll be in Orlando this year. And we actually have a decent slate of games this year as well. We got the fours and the fives. You mentioned Florida State earlier, Xavier and Maryland. But yeah. So this year we head to Orlando, so that should be a fun one. But, yeah, I got Kansas falling through. Now, clearly, the team below them, I see them having an issue in the future with them. But, yeah, I got Kansas, Miami. I got Iowa State. And speaking of kind of a fun one to break down just for a quick minute, Iowa State is, as I've mentioned a lot this year, probably too much, a very good offensive team that has four guys that can shoot the three. Purdue is known for having two super good bigs, with one of them being potentially a top four player in the nation, unless you believe Lonzo Ball's whole family is the best basketball family ever created upon God's earth from how his dad talks. But moving on from that, Iowa State going against Purdue that following the first Saturday. So you got two bigs against a team in Iowa State that doesn't really use their big because he's a freshman center. And Iowa State's guys kind of hanging around the three-point line. That could be a super fun matchup because Iowa State's not really a team that likes to go down low or play post defense. But as the commentators mentioned, can Purdue afford to have Swanigan and Haas chase around guys that shoot threes? So that's kind of one of those 50-50 matchups of, well, what's going to work? A bunch of guys jacking threes on the wing and you make Purdue go small? Or does Purdue just pound Iowa State down low inside and get them in massive foul trouble and win the game that way? So that might be one of the most entertaining matchups of a high-seeded team that following weekend. But I do have Iowa State persevering. What is your take on that game, man? Because if it does happen in match and the chalk holds through for Thursday, how do you see that one going? Because that truly is opposite styles of two very talented teams, but, man, they sure win the games very differently, Chris.
Yeah, they do. The one thing is, though, Purdue's very efficient in their offense no matter what they're shooting. And another thing is, I have Purdue. I think it's going to be a great game. I really like how Iowa State – a couple things. The offense, no doubt about it. Their defense obviously usually limits them from making a Final Four run per se, you know, in their run anyway in the last whatever years. And I just a real quick back to that KU Northern Iowa game too, though, with about what 30-35 seconds left, that cocky ass Steph Curry before Steph Curry was doing it, that cocky
Ali
ass Farouk
Minaj.
Dude, that was so smooth. I got a buddy that lives from Iowa, and we were watching that, and he's like, dude, that was such – like they had to put the dagger, and they just knew, like, screw it, dude. We're winning this game, and that was so money. But anyway, it really was, man. That was just like, dude, if he would have missed that, they'd have been like, you dummy, dude. What are you doing? You could have burned the time. You know what I mean? Yeah, just pulled up. Like, nobody around. It's like, dude, what are you doing, man? Like, basketball-wise, that made no sense, but it went in, and that's all that counts. And it sure put a foot in there, you know what. But anyway, back to this, Purdue-Iowa State. I think it is one of the better round of 32 games, matches. I think it'll come all the way down to the wire. The thing is, the Edwards, they're not Edward twins, but they're both, you know, last name Edwards. One's like a junior and one's a freshman. The thing about that, you're right, as far as I think they may try right away to play with the bigs, but they'll probably have to rotate. And the thing about them this year, they did that. Haas didn't start every single game, actually. As weird as it sounds, he didn't. He came up the bench a fair amount, but he's second in scoring on the team, so it's not like he didn't, you know, produce. And then it's kind of an advantage the other way, because then not only do you have to worry about Swanigan when he's on the ground, or when he's on the ground, when he's on, you don't have to worry about him when he's on the ground, but when he's on the bench, this isn't the USC, so you don't got to worry about any of that. But then to bring in Haas behind him, if in fact they – that's the system that works better for them, because they are flexed, you know, they're flexible. And I think I like that in general, to be able to have two bigs on the floor, but be able to play without them. And they played a fair amount of minutes with that. I know he had a little injury too early, but this one is a flip of the coin, especially the way Iowa State played down the stretch, played very, very well, very impressed with that squad. But yeah, I'm going with Purdue on that one. Do you have Oregon going then, or did you pick Rhode Island to go?
For some reason, I picked Oregon. I guess I kind of looked at the year they had this year, the tournament run they had last year, especially kicking the crap out of Duke. but I do have Oregon making it out of the first weekend, Chris, and I also have Louisville making it out of the first weekend too. But obviously the nation is saying take Rhode Island round one, and also saying them. A lot of people got them beating Oregon as well, so that's definitely a very popular pick, and I believe one you said you'd followed. I don't see many people, though, picking against Patino, so I would say that if there is the bracket spot, I would say most people have chalked for Louisville, but that Oregon thing, you know, the one interesting point is some people said, okay, the Oregon lost their shot blocker, which is obviously very hurtful for that team. But on the other hand, the guy was like their fourth best player. So obviously you don't want to lose anyone. And the dude was the best shot blocker in the Pac-12. But I guess I'm kind of torn of, I mean, is losing like you're not really an offensive guy and not one of your best players, obviously Dylan Brooks gets that. Is it a massive loss, or is it just one that might affect you defensively, which does matter? But I guess I've heard different opinions on how big of a loss that Boucher is. Obviously, I didn't see a lot of Oregon this year, so I'm trying to circulate as many opinions as I can. But some people seem to think it's a massive loss. Some people seem to think, well, they're still really good on offense. Now, they might give up a couple more points, but I still like them. Do you kind of lean one way or another? Or, I mean, I guess if Dylan Brooks went out, then it's like, holy cow. But this dude was a shot blocker, which obviously is super important. We'll get your Gophers here soon. Clearly, you've had a shot blocker that has impacted your team's season very highly for the positive.
What's a good example?
I saw Oregon winning. Yeah, I guess I can't get into too heavily the fact that they did lose a dude that averages a couple blocks, but Oregon's still going to score. They want to run with you and put up points, so I'll stop. But, I got Oregon winning. I do have them advancing somehow.
Yeah, the only reason why you kind of pinpoint teams that you don't believe in for the Elite Eight or whatever, or sometimes the Sweet 16, you know how you do that? You go, well, I don't really like that seed. I'm just going to take it no matter what, because I think they'll lose regardless. So I liked Oregon a lot. They have a veteran team. They do have another guy that can rebound as well. But I think that they got offense. They got that down. What made them better, or what makes them better? What makes them a team that could maybe make a run, or did, like you said, whooped on, they whooped on Duke. Well, defense, you know what I mean? Defense does. And so I don't know, man, I want to see how that plays out. And it's not like Creighton where they've gotten used to it. This, it just happened. You know what I mean? And they did play pretty decent against Arizona. Arizona seemed to be just honed in on that game. But they still – they played them okay. They made them work down the stretch. But Arizona was in control of that game, you know, for a good chunk of it. But, yeah, that's another thing while I'm picking that is because of the Louisville strength that I like out of them. So I see them moving on regardless. So I think that's why I struck right there for Oregon to lose in either Creighton or Rhode Island to get the job done. Now let's get to the final one here. The South. North Kakalaka number one, Kentucky number two, Ookla. That's right, I said it. Ookla, UCLA, the UCLA Bruins. Talk about a star-studded as far as tradition in college basketball. Kentucky, Ookla, and North Carolina all in one bracket. That's pretty interesting, that's for sure. Let me see here. We'll start with it since we've been doing it. This one is just so tough, man. Arkansas against Seton Hall, and Seton Hall is – they're pretty good, man. They're pretty good if you really look at them and if you got a chance to see them at times against the quality clubs in the Big East.
Well, you got to ask yourself a question here, Chris. Now, if you're standing in a jungle and a Razorback attacks a Pirate, who's going to win the battle? And I got to say a Pirate's going to win because it has a sword and it could kill a Razorback. So that's my a great analysis on that game. I was curious for your thoughts and comments on that.
I'm going 40 minutes of hell like it's 1995, and I'm going Arkansas. How's
Nolan
that?
Richardson.
Yeah, I'm going Arkansas. I don't know why. I think it's a great
I'm
game.
Taking my Pirate and his sword to not get, but it really doesn't matter.
Hey, once you get in the jungle, though, the hogs get bigger, dude. The hogs get bigger in a jungle. If we're deep in a jungle, the animals get bigger as you get deeper in the jungle. Think about it. So I don't know about that, dude. A hog get a hold of your leg, it may not let it go, and it's got a razor back, so it can slice.
True.
It has razor back, dude. Plus
if you drop your sword, you're screwed.
Yeah, in the peripheral, maybe messed up, dude, like because you got a one patch on your eye. So you don't know.
Uh-huh.
What the distance is hard to judge when you only see it out of one eye. With the Pirate.
Fair point.
Thing.
Fair counter.
Yeah, you know, now, here it is. I'm so happy that Minnesota got in, and I look at the future and this and that, and then all of a sudden I look at who we face, and I go, are you freaking shitting me? So we face a team that knocked out. You know, they couldn't do it to us in the Big Ten schedule this year. They didn't get us. They tried to, Marshall. They tried, but they didn't get us. We overachieved. We were 11-7 with that. They tried like they try. They still think Clem is here. Clem is gone. He's at Memphis. Leave us alone. No, he's not at Memphis. That's Tubby. But I'm looking at a club that now is three seeds better than last year. They're returning basically the whole team, and they beat Izzo for his exit ever out of a tournament. Oh, and then, by the way, yeah, that one senior that plays on your club, yeah, he tore his ACL. He's not in the starting lineup anymore. So now your guard off the bench doesn't exist. You're going to have to play three guards and tweak it. I think we'll play Curry at small forward once in a while. But I'll tell you what, to be a fifth seed, I thought it was going to be sixth seed, to be honest with you. I wouldn't have been shocked with the fifth seed. Because of our road wins. Actually, road wins obviously stand out this year in tough games on the road. I have to say that for the committee. Because obviously they got us at 5. And Northwestern, Maryland, Purdue, at Florida State, at Wisconsin. You know, we had a lot of ats in tough matchups. But wow, dude. Wow. This one's tough. And at least they're going to be ready for it this year, though. I'll say that. They are going to be ready. Like, hey, by the way, this team's good. Look what happened to last year. And a lot of people thought that maybe Michigan State would make a run last year. So I know I was one of them. So because, you know, they're good and it's Izzo. So they're going to make a run. I'm really shaking my head. I do have Butler. I actually do have – oh, my God, I just realized on this one, I'm just looking at this bracket that I filled out, or it's almost filled out. It's not fully filled out. I have both AAC teams, both 11, either Providence or USC or Kansas State, Wake Forest, going against both the top two out of the AAC, the SMU and Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. I have them both getting beat on this. This one that's not fully filled out, I'm just kind of, you know, and I needed a bracket in front of my face, so I picked it up. And I don't know if that's going to work, but I think I was so confident in Ukula, I'm doing it. I think that's what got me. What do you think here? I mean, is it all chalk, or obviously Middle Tennessee is the one that you got to look and go, yep, that's the one that's going to happen. I hate to say it, but I'm looking at this and I'm going, well, no, I take that back, Wichita State, too. I forgot. What do you think here, man?
I got Kentucky chalk. I got UCLA chalk. Obviously, UCLA playing in Sacramento with, again, the greatest basketball player in the world because his dad only tells the truth. that might be my new quota for March Madness. I'll give Lane Kiffin a break. I got them winning.
Somehow you mentioned it twice on the show, but, you know, you still gave him a break.
I'll save your Gophers for last. I do have the Wichita State Shockers winning. We did debate that a little bit earlier. Not really debate, but, you know, are they a super good team like normal? Because their record didn't really prove it, but we'll see. But nonetheless, they're a 10 seed, and they're a 7-point favorite over Dayton. So, you know, Vegas is believing in the Shockers. So I got
Trump
them winning.
He made a nice little upset not long ago either.
Exactly, and I do believe that, again, that SMU and Cincinnati are both good teams, but to correlate to the start of the show, that there's always that 111 seed that makes a run that plays in a play-in game. And I'm going to get a little fancy, Chris. I'm going to say Wake Forest beats Cincy. I'll take Wake Forest and cross off K-State and say they get it
Danny
done.
Danny Manning. Isn't Danny Manning there, right? So you, KU.
Yep, he is.
FKU, except for Danny Manning.
Butler. Butler. The one thing you always hear, they're the only team that beat Nova twice this year. So and they beat Zona. I mean, so this Butler team that on some given days they can be legit people, which is, I know, so comforting for you to think about it. If your Gophers do be Middle Tennessee. Now, in my opinion, Chris, the tweet of the week came about, an hour after brackets came out. Some nerdy sport person from Middle Tennessee thought they'd be funny and tweeted to the Gophers basketball saying, hey, we see that you guys beat Sparty this year. Oh, we beat them last year in the tournament, and now we're coming for you. So nothing like a little trash talk an hour after the brackets come out, and you got a 12 seed coming at your Gophers, Chris, like, here you go. You guys are next in our chopping block.
Yeah, here's your 5 seed, but hey, here's your 12 seed, bastards. You're like, ah. Like the Big Ten say, hey, can you do me a favor? Yeah, we gotta fuck with them.
I do have Middle Tennessee winning this opening weekend, so I got
you
them knocking out your Gophers and Butler.
Oh, okay. At least you picked Butler. Okay, I'll be happy with that. Well,
yeah,
I can't go against Minnesota this round, but I got Butler beating Minnesota regardless because I don't have faith in the first round per se. But
mm-hmm.
the added injury of now you have your shooting guard who's a senior out, the most experienced player out, gone, not coming back. That sucks. You know what I mean? That does suck.
Yeah,
right before.
Tough.
So. It is what it is, but either way, I don't have my squad going past Butler regardless, but you do.
Let me say,
Tennessee going past Butler?
Let me say this, though, Chris. There's a possibility that for our show next week, you and I could be breaking down the Carolina Tar Heels versus the Minnesota Golden Gophers, and my, what a show that would be. I'm just saying, brother. I'm just saying. That could be a sweet
I'll tell you what, I'd
breakdown.
Come in there loosey-goosey, dude. I'd come in so loosey-goosey. Oh, my God. Because what would I have to lose? Not a freaking thing.
Absolutely nothing. And what would your co-host have to lose?
Oh, a whole freaking lot. A whole lot.
You might
lot.
Need to hire a new co-host. Mark
yeah,
was out
right?
for a couple of weeks. And here's Bill. Bill's going to be filling in for Marshall, who apparently lost his voice in a catastrophic beer accident.
Do a J-term. He's going to do a J-term at North Carolina in African American Studies. He's decided to go that way. He just wants to settle down and learn about our country and all the bad things. I'm kidding. Yeah, dude.
So
that would be crazy.
That would be fun for us if our boys played against each other. Yeah, I got shocked besides Middle Tennessee.
So
did you take Wichita State beating Dayton, or who did you have playing Kentucky on that?
I did. I think that'll be a tight game though. But yeah, I did. I like Wichita State, but I like Kentucky beating them.
The one thing I will say is, being a Carolina fan, I'm happy. And again, I'm assuming my Carolina boys make it past this first week. You never know, but I hope so. But I am happy that UCLA and UK are together down there, and one wasn't a four, because those teams obviously for down the road scare me a little bit. But it is cool to see as a fan that, in theory, if Carolina does make it out of the first weekend, that we can only play one of them. Because it is kind of crazy how you could argue that three of the most talented out of, like, the five offenses in the country are all chilling down there. With UNC, obviously some numbers say the UCLA can run the court better than Carolina can. And obviously Kentucky, with all the freshman talent they have, there's a lot of points that are going to be scored in that South region. But it is nice to know that at least to jump ahead a little bit, that we can't play both. We only have to play one hypothetically. But definitely some high-scoring teams chilling down in the South.
And a lot of soft defenses, too.
Yeah. It's a, dude,
at least inconsistent.
You want to play to 90? Let's go. You know. Mm-hmm. So,
be entertaining. Man, let's get out of here. Let's wrap it up. Sweet 16.
All right. The one point I'll make, Chris, is when you are filling out these brackets, obviously this year, people are super high on the 11, 12, and 13, so you got to pick some. I don't know if I'd get too crazy and pick a lot, but, man, I just
yeah, you
can't
overdo it.
Things
are going to happen that nobody knows.
Yeah, and the one thing is, you do got to pick some chalk, because it does occur. But if you take your chalk too far, you know, you normally don't have a lot of double-digit seeds making the Elite Eight. Like, you got to pick some upsets,
right.
But normally people are you can't have them run on that too far of a journey. Like, my East bracket's kind of crazy, but my rest of them are kind of normal. So you do got to pick some. But man, this year I have heard a lot more love for these high seeds than normal. So maybe this is the year that you do get a couple of crazy double-digit numbers making that third weekend. So I don't know.
The last 6 to 8 years or something, the number one seeds actually haven't fared that well as far as getting to the Final Four. So who knows? But that is a definite stat, you know. Obviously, the champion has been a lot, the number one seed a lot, or a number one seed, the title holder at the end of the thing.
Yeah,
but as
yeah.
far as being the number one seed getting to the Final Four, it isn't as strong as you think.
And my last 2 points are for the brackets filling out. Obviously, look at head coaches. Some head coaches have tremendous resumes come tournament time. Like, I mean, obviously Izzo had a hiccup last year, but that guy, I mean, there'd be so many years where we were doing our shows before we even did shows. We were friends at Brown College, Minnesota. It's like, oh, Michigan State's my bracket. I'm going to put them in the Elite Eight. And you didn't even think about it. You know, obviously he doesn't have quite that team this year, but again, would it really surprise you if somehow Michigan State beat Kansas? Like, dude, it's Izzo doing his thing again, you know? So, look for coaches, because then you also have coaches like Baylor, who they get bounced out almost every year, early as Scott Drew. And lastly is the senior point guards or senior heavy teams, which is the one caveat why Yes, which is why people love to pick sometimes the non-Power 5, or as you call them, the mid-major term, which is kind of loose, as you mentioned earlier in the show. But like the Middle Tennessees or the UNC Wilmingtons or a lot of those teams that are the 12 and 13s, the reason they are really good is because those guys have been playing together for 4 years. You know, a team like Duke has three or four super talented freshmen. But I'll tell you, they don't have the experience or the chemistry that a team does like, you know, a Rhode Island or Wichita State. These guys,
like
they might have, yeah, they might have one NBA player on their team, but those guys have been teammates for 4 years now. And you can't get that type of chemistry when you bring in a bunch of one-and-dones like Kentucky does with Calipari. Now, granted, he does it to an extreme, but nonetheless. So look at senior guards. That's why I've said it all year, but I'll say it again, I love Monte Morris. The guy has one of the best point guard turnover assist ratios in college for the last 3 years. So when you got a senior guard like him going all out, like it's like I don't think he's going to have an off game, which is why I think that they'll be a fun team to watch. But yeah, look for senior guards. Look for coaches, and you got to pick some chalk. But if you get too crazy, and then all the chalk does fall through, which it could, then you know, Chris, you're going to be looking at your bracket and ripping it up and saying a bunch of illegal swear words you probably shouldn't say, you know. So, but hey, we will be back next week. We'll be breaking down a potential Gophers against Tar Heels Sweet 16 matchup, which would make
even though neither of us picked it, but yeah. Potential.
Which would make for a very, very fun college ball show. Obviously, I'm going to be saying a couple of prayers for Wisconsin that they walked into a Lions Den, but that is a team they can find their way to sneak out to, hopefully. So,
what are you looking like right now for Monday? Do you know?
Monday at about 6, because I will have. I'm sure I'll have tennis practice again. I'll sadly be back to work Monday. But, Monday at 6 would sound great for me, and we can take in all the craziness because I think we are due for what should be a fun weekend. I mean, and if all this chalk does win this first weekend, well, then we definitely have even more to talk about on our show Monday. But Monday at 6 sounds good for me, and we can discuss what ensued and what we have to futurely predict. So Monday sounds good. Everybody have a fun weekend. As I always say, stay safe and enjoy hopefully the nice weather this time of the year, unless you're in New York and getting 12 inches of snow today. But hey, enjoy the basketball, have fun. Chris, I'll be back next week. Peace.